entrepreneurs, business leaders, and professionals who seek excellence. Bringing the business classroom to you. It's the Business Builders Show on the Business Builders Media Network. Here's Marty Wolf.
Welcome to the Business Builders Show. My name is Marty Wolf, and I am the host of the Business Builders Show. Hopefully, a lot of people already know that because you've been listening to the Business Builders Show for a long time, but I appreciate you coming back to join us. So my special guest today is Angelo Valletta. Angelo, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Marty. How are you?
Doing fantastic. We're going to be talking about Angelo's book, which is the title is 7 R's of Leadership and Life, which I've already read 3 times. And we will get into some things that are in there, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. So in terms of some fundamental introduction, because we're going to go through more details of Angelo's life as we go through the interview, but Angelo Valletta is the president and CEO of Ben Franklin Technology Partners of Northeastern Pennsylvania. So maybe we should start this way, Angelo. What is Ben Franklin Technology Partners, and what do you do at that organization?
Well, Marty, thank you so much for asking. First, let me thank you for having me here today to talk a little bit about Ben Franklin and my book, The 7 R's of Leadership in Life. So just a little bit about Ben Franklin. We are a technology investment firm, but at the very early stage. We invest in those early stage companies to where they're not really prepared or have the long-term revenue outlook yet. They haven't had revenue for 2, 3, 4 years. So we come in and invest in those organizations. We also invest in established manufacturing organizations, and we also invest in 12 incubator networks throughout northeastern Pennsylvania. We actually are one of the largest incubator networks in the United States, with supporting 12 monetarily, but actually own and operate 2 of them. So a little bit about Ben Franklin and what we do and how we do it and why we do it.
Excellent. The website for Ben Franklin, what is that, Angela?
Sure. www, of course, NEP.benfranklin.org. So that's www.NEP.benfranklin.org.
So looking at your LinkedIn profile, and I already know you a little bit, I know you've had a lot of other interesting roles in your life. So kind of tell me or tell us how the roles in the past kind of prepared you to be the president and CEO of Ben Franklin Technology Partners.
Great. Thanks, Marty. I'll go back a little bit, but I'll be brief and I'll be quick. Really, it started when I was a senior in high school to where I was told by a friend that the old Provident National Bank, which turned into PNC through a merger with Pittsburgh National Bank to actually form PNC Bank, that they were hiring some customer service reps. And I went, I interviewed, and unfortunately, I wasn't 18 at the time. So they wouldn't hire me. So I went back, I went home, and I got some of the greatest advice. My father said, go back, go talk to the personnel people and tell them that you're going to work for free and that you're going to take the education of a customer service rep. And then you're going to be 18 in 6 weeks. So you'll take their test and they'll hire you. And you know what? I did that, Marty. I didn't know what I didn't know at the time. Wow. So I went in, knocked on the door. I went in and talked to Kay Fay, the personnel lady is what they called it back then. And I said, hey, Kay, I'm Angelo. I'd like to work for free until you can hire me when I'm 18. She goes, I don't even know what to do with you, Angelo. So that's really how it started, Marty. Quite honestly, it was one of the best advices is that, you know, sometimes you have to put some skin in the game. So actually, I worked full time, went to school full time. So when I graduated Temple University, I was 6 months shy of my pension at a ripe old age of 21. They hired me in technology, but I learned and they learned very quickly that I really had a knack for the business side. So applying technology and business, and then of course, finances and wealth management and Provident was built around the trust division and so forth. So I was able to learn and be able to bring all those things together. And now, you know, transcend that over a 35-year period. I owned and sold two different companies around fintech, financial technology. And then I really kind of formulated the investment side when I was president, CEO of an independent foundation. So we invested people's money for passions and missions. Think senior and elder care, think feeding the poor and feeding the hungry. So I did that. I helped bring those programs to forebear. And then there was an opportunity at Ben Franklin Northeast. I threw my hat in the ring, 150 applicants worldwide, look at different individuals. And they settled on me, thank goodness, and had the time of my life. So it really brings all of the things that are near and dear to my heart, business, investments, helping the community and organizations to grow and prosper, and then grow jobs in the great state of Pennsylvania.
Excellent. So that brought you to, that prepared you for the role at Ben Franklin, and I'm assuming it also prepared you to write a book called The 7 R's of Leadership and Life. So let's get into your book. And so the question that I think helps us launch, if you will, talking about the book, is what inspired you to write the seven R's of Leadership and Life? And did you have a particular audience in mind when you wrote it?
Yes. The audience, it really transcends from middle schoolers, high schoolers, into business, and then into any level of management. So the inspiration of the book came from my middle schooler, my son, when he was in middle school 15 years ago. Actually, it's longer than that. It's almost 20 years because he's 33 now. So the math is getting away from me, unfortunately, as I age. But he was in middle school, and he said, came to me after, you know, when dads and their sons start to battle a little bit, especially at that 12 and 13 and 14-year-old age in middle school. He said, "Dad, I don't know if I'm doing right or wrong. You got too many rules. You have too many rules, and I'm just confused." And I stepped back, and I said, "Challenge accepted. I can get it. I understand it. I was a middle schooler at one time in my life." And I went away, I thought about it, and very easily I came up with these 5 R's. Respect, resolve, readiness, the right thing, and responsibility. They were the first 5 of the R's. And I figured a middle schooler would understand all of those things. And I sat down and I talked to him about respect yourself, respect others, respect your classmates, your teachers. And then I went down the line. One of the things I was very concerned about was resolve. My son is a very big human being. He was almost 6 foot. He was almost 6 foot as a middle schooler. He was a black belt in karate. And I wanted to make sure he used his God-given skills and tools for good. So I said, "You know, Alex, you're a big person and you need to step back and you need to be able to help others that maybe are being persecuted in middle school and being bullied and so forth. That's one of the things from a resolve." And I said to him, "And always be ready. Be ready in school. Be ready when you're a star soccer player and playing at a U17 and 18-year-old and 19-year-old club when he was 14 years old, because he was big and he was good." So I wanted to make sure he had resolve, he was ready, and always do the right thing. And these things transcend not only to middle schoolers, but also us in management and us as leaders. That's why I say that the book is about leadership and life. So when I started in earnest of writing the book about 2 years ago, I worked with my daughter. So she actually helped me ghostwrite the book. So I put my random thoughts down in a into a series of emails and texts to my daughter, and she would place them into a Google Doc and organize it and put it in sentence format for me and so forth. And you know, it's one of the things I'll share is you when you're working with your adult child, right? You know, so my daughter was well into her 20s at this point. She said to me, "Dad, we will work together, but you need to stay out of my column." I said, "What are you talking about?" So when she put the information into a column, she put my column with my thoughts down and then her column. And then I would go into her column and make corrections and so forth. Yeah. And told me what to do and how to do it. So it's pretty funny how you learn, right, as an adult to say, you know what, sometimes I got to be a follower and sometimes I got to be a leader, right? So that was it was quite wonderful. And then my wife proofread the book for me and then sent it out to several publishers, and two came back to publish the book. And I was actually very happy because my wife and daughter are incredible writers. And my wife is an incredible proofer because they said that they probably only needed to make maybe about a dozen corrections or so and then wow. put it into a book format. We did all the heavy lifting for them. So it was a wonderful experience where the inspiration came from my son, the ghostwriting yeah. came from my daughter, the proofing came from my wife. So it truly is. If you notice on the front of the book, the author is A. Valletta, and we're all A's. Yeah. It's I'm Angelo, my yep. wife's Andrea, my son's Alex, Alexander, and my daughter's Amanda. So that's the reason why I have the author as A. Valletta. So it truly was a family affair, and that's how we put together not only what the inspiration was and how we did it and why we did it and who it's for.
Excellent. I know, well, you can get the book. Let's do a plug for the book and where they can get it right now. I know you can get it on Amazon
sure.
Because I looked and validated that today. So you can get the book on Amazon.com or
yes.
I suppose in Barnes & Noble and other places. I'm not sure, but
yep.
but definitely on Amazon, right, Angela?
Amazon and any of the online bookstores as well. You can just place the order and so forth. And if you want to buy multiple copies for your organization and so forth, please contact Newman Springs, Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N, springs.com. There's an author website, Angelo Valletta, and you can follow the prompts. The books are much cheaper when you buy in bulk
I'll put that in the show notes so people can see that, because I could see after people hear this interview and read the book that they're going to want to share this with their colleagues. To me, this is something you could have several conversations, not as a corrective way, but as a way to help communicate between each other and with the customers and with vendors and all those other kinds of things. Because those are the lessons, you know, if you will.
Yes.
So let's go a little deeper on each of them. You've started to go down that way, but again, the seven R's of leadership in life: respect, resolve, responsibility, readiness, right thing, relationships, and recreation. And you go deeper on each of them. But before we even go there, explain to me why you laid it out the way you did. So the first, you do it in a month, and the first week, I believe, is you talk about the seven R's.
Yes.
And you explain.
Yes.
Am I correct? And then from there, you go on and you go deeper to the different things. Why did you lay it out that way?
Yes, I really wanted a book that someone can do a quick read, a minute or two a day, so that, to your point, Marty, the first week is laying out the seven R's. As you stated, and the seven R's really sets up the rest of the month. So each R that's introduced over the course of the next 21 days month, 28 days. I know there's 30 and some, 31, but I set it up from a 28 day. So you start on a day, Monday, you know, beginning of your week, or maybe it's a Sunday, the beginning of your week. And then at the end, you will finish on a Sunday or a Monday. And new R's are introduced, but they refer back to the original seven R's. I want it to not to be boring to where you're reading the same R every day, but maybe resilience is brought up in regards to the particular day. You'll have to buy the book to get the other 21 R's. I'll set the first seven up and one additional one. But it refers back, and it's a quick read every day, more of a rinse and repeat of things that we know as human beings we should be doing as leaders, as human beings, as individuals. And it's just a reminder that these are the things we should be doing. And then when you hit that 29th day, you start all over again, and you'll see respect again, and then vice versa. And really, it's to be read every single day, just as a reminder. And that's the reason why I set it up that way. There's not chapters of the book. It wouldn't make sense to have chapters. It starts in day one and ends in day 28 and rinse and repeat all the way through.
Yeah. Well, I did an Amazon review this morning.
Thank you.
And the title of the, whatever they say, the keywords, I said, read and apply daily. That was my headline. And then I basically said what you just said in this regard. My experience has been, and maybe you can agree or disagree with me, that it is often what we're reminded of that brings us as much or more value than learning something new. And reading your book, making notes, thinking, you know this version, Angelo. I used to. Why did I stop? Oh, I should do that again, or I should start that, right? So, I mean, I love the idea of read and apply daily, because it's a reminder of maybe what we did know, but we stopped doing.
You know what, Money?
Okay for me to say that?
100%. I also like to say it's about truly building that muscle memory. Right? Elite athletes build their muscle memory to where their body is. They're playing basketball or football or baseball, whatever. You pick an elite athlete. My daughter was a classically trained ballerina and danced professionally for over 15 years. She had muscle memory, right? So, so I like to say this drives muscle memory, right? If we go and take a look, and unfortunately in my life, my father really struggled with dementia. But it's funny, when we had conversations and he didn't know who I was, but there were things that he would talk to me about. He thought I was a doctor visiting him, checking in on him, because he was in a nursing home for almost 10 years. And it's amazing the muscle memory that would come up, and he would start to tell stories that I knew of, and he would talk about his sons, my brother Lou and I, and he thought I was a doctor, right? So this is about building muscle memory. There is no substitution to do the right thing all of the time. And we know as human beings, the right thing to do, treat others with respect, right? And you can start combining seven R's. So it's about building that muscle memory, so you are just doing the right thing all of the time, right? And I like to say the one I struggle with the most, and it's about muscle memory here, right?
Is that
it's resolve. And I struggle with it every day, and I fail every day at it, because, you know, I live in the greater Philadelphia area, and I travel the Schuylkill Expressway a whole lot, Route 76. Going through my travels through northeastern PA and where Ben Franklin does business. So I'm either on the Turnpike or 76 and so forth. And boy, I log a lot of windshield time, right? And that's where you have to have some resolve, right? So, and that's where I fail. And not like I was 10 or 15 years ago, where I would give a particular salute to someone or whichever be the case. Now I fail mentally. So when someone cuts me off, I go to a bad place, and then very quickly I bring myself to a centered spot, right? And I go, maybe it's mom or dad taking their child or a loved one to the doctors, or someone's choking in the back seat. I bring myself to a better spot to give other people the benefit of the doubt. But I'm starting to get to a place where even if I do it mentally, I'm failing. So every day I just get a little bit better. And that's where that resolve comes in. Just keep the muscle memory going.
Right. And the muscle memory is that you'll do it because it's ingrained in your heart and in your mind, and you'll maybe not be perfect, but you'll say, oh, wait a minute, let's do a quick timeout.
Yes.
And let's take the 5 seconds and let's move to that. So so that made me think of something else. I told you we're going to wander a little bit, so stay with me.
Absolutely. You know,
so in terms of that timeout and in terms of thinking that pause, if you will, you can't do this while you're driving, but you told us in the book that you meditate.
Oh,
and
yes.
I think you said you do it twice a day. Why is that helpful in the 7 R's of leadership in life, and how does it help you, and what would you recommend that to others?
I do. And meditation doesn't have to be a transcendental meditation, which I've went to training for. My wife does that, so do I. And I do a combination. I'm very faithful. I'm a faith-filled and spiritual individual, Marty. So when I go into meditation, I also go into deep prayer and deep thought. Right. So it allows me to get to that right space. So very quickly, when I am going into a bad spot and resolve on the Schuylkill Expressway and white knuckling it because people are driving like maniacs out there, I step back, and my faith allows me to do that. The meditation has trained me to do that. And the resolve and the repetitiveness does that. And I don't care if you just listen to the ocean hitting the beach and just getting yourself in the right spot, or it's classic rock or hard rock and roll. People meditate the way they need to meditate. Some do it to classical music. I do it through prayer, and I do it to a bit of silence and getting me in. But I'm able to bring myself, while I'm in just in a parking lot, sit the seat back just a little bit clear my mind, go into some deep prayer and thought and meditation, and get to a good place. And I do that in the morning and then somewhere in the afternoon, typically before dinner or early evening. You can't do it too late because it brings out some endorphins and energy. So I wouldn't suggest doing it 10 o'clock at night before you're going to bed. You may not be able to go to sleep for a couple hours, right? So you have to really know your body and so forth. And there are just so many self-help meditation outlines on the internet and Google and so forth. Pick one, pick one that's right for you and that you enjoy.
A lot of business people are doing that more and more. I know several of them, and they're successful people, and they attribute that to their success. So I want to make sure everybody knows I'm talking to Angelo Valletta, and his book is The 7 R's of Leadership in Life. And we've already mentioned he's the president and CEO of Ben Franklin Technology Partners in Northeastern Pennsylvania. Angelo, if you'd want people to get in touch with you, how would they do that? LinkedIn, or how would you suggest that people do that if they want to reach you?
I would love that. LinkedIn is my social media of choice. It's really the only social media I am on. From a business perspective, please feel free. Just note that you heard me on this program, looking forward to connecting with folks and building relationships, because that's one of the 7 R's.
That is. That should have been a segue, but I wasn't ready for that, so I'll have to move on to something else.
That's funny.
I was thinking before I went to that brief commercial, in terms of your, preparedness, your thinking, to me, that's kind of readiness.
Yeah.
And you talk a lot about being ready. I mean, taking the time. I can't get the quote exactly right, but your I guess your son's soccer coach said if you're not 30 minutes early, you're not on time, or some version of that, right? And I subscribe to that 1,000,000%. But the whole idea, which is one of the 7 R's, is readiness. So talk to me more about that and how you feel about the importance of that, being ready, sure. Being on time. Talk to me.
Yeah, and it does go back to my middle schooler. You're right, Marty. And he played at an incredibly high level. And the coaches with his team said, if you're not 20 minutes early, you're 20 minutes late. And the reason is because you needed to be ready, warmed up, ready to go for the training of the day, no matter what that training was that particular day. And it could be strength and conditioning. It could be running, whichever be the case. But he wanted his team ready for training when he arrived at the time of arrival. And it really taught me something going is that there's many people that arrive to work at 8 o'clock or start their remote working at the time that they're supposed to be working. I like to say back in the day, I used to like to get to work about an hour early. I'm a business news junkie. I love to read business news every single day. I like to do that early in the morning to kind of understand what happened the previous day, what's on tap for today, sure. What announcements are going to be happening and so forth. So I like to sit there with my coffee and I like to sit there because it also dovetails into what I do on a consistent basis, right?
Sure.
You know, how the economy is going is how my investments are going and how the companies that we invest in go and so forth. That is just my thing. Some people may be the sports page and that's okay too. Yeah. But I get ready in various different ways from a prepared perspective. But you don't start preparing when it's go time. It's start time. Yeah. It is preparing prior to it, right? It is preparing for this interview, Marty, right? That I was on 10 minutes early. I wanted to make sure my light was right, that the glare from the back windows that I'm sitting here wasn't coming in too much because it's very sunny where I'm at right now and where my computer is situated. All those things come into play. When you're having a coffee meeting or a beverage meeting with someone, get there early and place the water bottle out for your guest. That's respect. That's taking that responsibility and being ready. Well, we're doing this virtually. I wanted to make sure that I was sitting here. I was ready. I had my jacket on, my shirt buttoned, and where my collar wanted to be. That's being ready. And that's the muscle memory. Before, and everybody is rushing from one meeting to another, I buffer 15 minutes to a half hour between any conversation that I have with anyone. That's key.
I try to do the same. I hope I sound prepared for this discussion.
You certainly do, especially with the Amazon review and giving the plug where to buy the book because you did it. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that as a new author. I'm a first time author, Marty. This is new to me. So I'm learning and I'm trying to prepare myself as best I can to be able to get my word out because I'm very passionate about these 7 R's.
Sure. Well, let's go to page 8, and it talks about CARES method. I found that very interesting.
Wow.
So talk to us about what you call the CARES method. How and when did you apply it? What was the results, et cetera, et cetera? Talk to us about that.
Well, geez, thank you, Marty. And, we didn't prepare for this. You didn't ask me this question, but I've been asked by Newman to think about a second book. And the second book will be around care. So this is a beautiful teaser for my next book. And really with the CARES methodology, and again, ingrained in all our life, and I'm going to map the CARES service methodology to the 7 R's. And what CARES stands for is courteous, accurate, responsive, empathetic, and I like to add energized as well, service. It's a methodology that goes back to my formidable years when I was in operations and going to college. I mentioned that I was going to college full-time and working full-time. I was working in customer service, and the operations group at the old Provident National Bank created this CARES service methodology. And I have taken that to heart. I've learned it. I take these CARES service methodology and I put it into every single service-oriented organization that I have worked for. And it's just about how to treat your clients, your partners, and your fellow human beings. Not different from the seven R's, because it's all about what are you doing in your business and your life. The same things with CARES, right? In your personal life, you always want to be courteous and accurate. You want to be responsive to your family and friends. You want to be empathetic and energized at all times, right? You want to make sure you are trying to put the shoes on someone else's on your own feet, right? No judgment, right? I like to say when you're talking with me, it's a no judgment zone, right? As I said, I'm very spiritual and very faithful. I go, only God judges. I'm human, right? I failed. So how could I help you, right? So, yeah, yeah. And you, as you can tell, I'm a very upbeat and energized individual. So I like to throw energy in there as well. And then it's all about service. No matter if you're serving your family or you're serving your friends or you're serving your community or your church, or most importantly, yourself. If you're not servicing and caring, feeding yourself, you are going to not make it, right? So through the challenging days and weeks and months that we all live with, right? So it's about care and feeding as well. And that's where the service comes in, to others as well as yourself.
So I've already mentioned that's on page 8. I've already made the recommendation that this is a book that you can share with your team, your family, and your team. I'm a business show, so I'm going to keep referring to business. The 7 R's of Leadership and Life, there's many things you could take. Right there is a meeting. The whole CARES method is a meeting in and of itself that can be used universally with all groups of people. So there's a plug for the CARES method. Would you have any in addition to your book, any reading recommendations that connects to your 7 R's of Leadership and Life?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you my favorite book, right? So outside of my faith and spirituality, I will not mention the Bible, right? So because I read that every day. But I do refer to a book all the time, and it's called, it's not what you deserve, it's what you negotiate. And it seems almost like a self-serving book, but it's really not. Because the book outlines different cultures and how different cultures negotiate. So for example, a Middle Eastern individual will negotiate. And if you're not negotiating in good faith, like bargaining and haggling on price, they will lose respect for you, right? Negotiating in the Asian culture, you're not negotiating with the ultimate decision maker. You are negotiating with someone that is not speaking, right? So just it outlines different cultures so you can get a perspective on really how individuals are wired. So you can build a relationship. I'll go back to a 7R. It's about how you build relationship. And how you build relationship is understand how the other individual is wired from a cultural perspective, right? So it's one of my favorite books. I talk about it all the time. It was very enjoyable. It was a page turner, so to speak.
Can you remember who the author was?
I don't. I can't remember who the author was, but it's not what you deserve. It's what you negotiate. I know it's on Amazon, and I do look it up every once in a while. So
I think it's Chris Voss.
It is Chris Voss. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thank you for that.
Out of the blue, I came up with that one. All right, Marty.
Well done.
Check for Marty. All right. So we're going to start wrapping up. Again, Angelo Valletta has been our guest on the Business Builders Show. His book is 7 R's of Leadership and Life. There is often you came to this interview and you may have had a particular objective that maybe we didn't meet today, or something that you wanted to say that you didn't get a chance to say. I didn't ask you the question. So in terms of starting to wrap up, is there any point you'd like to drive home, or is there anything that you want to make sure that that we all know before we leave?
Sure, sure. Yeah, Marty, if anyone wants to have me attend one of their leadership meetings or via Zoom or in person, if they're in the greater Philadelphia area in northeastern Pennsylvania where I do business, I'd love to visit your organization, build relationships. I do not take a fee for this. But if you want to donate to my brother's scholarship, my late brother Lou passed away at 46 years old in 2009 from a heart ailment that he was born with. So we're blessed to have him for his 46 years. So I would say if you want to donate to my brother's scholarship at Temple University, feel free. And then, of course, you would buy the book as well. So for the folks attending. So please reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm available, you know, through schedule, and we'll figure that out.
Superb. Angelo, thank you for taking time to be with us. I love the book. I love the work you're doing through the book, with the book, your life, and the work you're doing at Ben Franklin, because you know I'm reasonably familiar with what's going on at Ben Franklin Technology Partners. And I do want to give a shout-out to our mutual friend, Ken O'Krepke, who I think does an incredible job. I hope you're okay with me.
Oh, yeah.
Giving a shout-out to Ken.
Absolutely.
He does, does a great job. And so, again, Angelo, thank you so much for being part of the Business Builder Show.
Thank you so much for your time. And I was very blessed and happy to have this conversation today. Thank you, Marty. Have a great day. And everyone out there, live the 7 R's of leadership in life. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to the Business Builders Show on the Business Builders Media Network. Find all our shows and many other great podcasts at businessbuildersmedia.com. That's businessbuildersmedia.com.